Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We're back with comedian Jim Gaffigan, who stars in a new thriller. And I said thriller, American Dreamer. In the film, Gaffigan plays Cam, a financially struggling rideshare driver who takes a job driving around a local drug dealer named Maz to pick up some extra cash because Cam is really desperate, possibly having a nervous breakdown, or he could just be a jerk. There's always that element too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But when Cam's financial situation gets particularly desperate, he devises a plot to kidnap Maz's son, holds him for ransom. That fateful decision sends Cam and Maz into a spiral that has terrible consequences for everybody involved. American Dreamer will be available in theaters in New York on Friday and across the country and on demand September 20th. Jim is with us, and we're joined by the film's co-writer and director, Derek Bort. Derek, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So this film has got so many different layers. So you've got the thriller layer that you had to write through the through line, and then underneath it, there's all this tension with race. There's tension with class. What is it that you, why did you think a thriller was a good vehicle to talk about these other cultural issues?
Well, I think that I've tried in the past to do similar things like that. Well, with the Joneses, I wanted to address conspicuous consumption and things like that as a backdrop to a personal story. And I think this was a great opportunity to show a personal story in the form of a thriller set against kind of the backdrop, the web of these kind of issues of entitlement, privilege, and things that are hot button issues for today.
Mm-hmm. Jim, how did you find the script, or how did the script find you?
I think it was Mary Verneau, this amazing casting director who has been an incredible advocate for me, and I was sent the script, and I read it, and you know, I was immediately interested. I also, selfishly, I was like, oh good, I want to show people I can do this. Mm-hmm. But I was also really interested, not to give anything away about this movie, but you know, Derek touched on like the entitlement thing, which sounds like kind of that might alienate people, but there is something interesting about Cam being this white male and what he can get away with. And the movie kind of really touches on that on a lot of different levels where you track it and you're like, oh my gosh. You know, and it's not laid out with a judgment. It's just a fact. It's like you realize there's moments where it's like, well, he's lucky he's a white guy there. He's mm-hmm. lucky that he's a white guy. And it's put in the context of this larger thing. Even Cam's frustration is not that he believes life is unfair. He believes that he's done nothing wrong. And you can attribute it to him being a jerk or to being mentally ill or not. But he thinks that life should have been easier. And you know, when I read this script, it's weird because as an actor, you want to portray these complex people. But, you know, we're all a couple bad decisions away from being in really horrible situations. And some of the thriller in this movie, I believe, is constructed on you watch Cam do these things and you're like, dude, why are you doing that? And to portray that, it was fun because it was, I didn't have any moment of doubt because in Cam's thinking, and you know, as an actor, you end up loving a character, you empathize with everything, but it's just insane. Like, because we would shoot and then afterwards people are like, I can't believe what a jerk your character is. And I'm like, is he a jerk? And they're like, yes, he is a jerk.
Well, he always thinks everything is going to turn out okay.
Yeah.
Like I'll do this. Everything will be okay. I'll take a hostage, get some ransom, and then life will go on.
Yeah.
He feels that he's owed this. This is no big deal to him.
Yeah.
Why was Jim a good choice for this character, Cam?
Wow. Well, you know, first he was a good choice before we had spoken in that I felt like he could be someone who makes horrible decisions that even have tragic consequences, and yet I felt like you would still feel for him. I felt like he just had that quality. And then after speaking with Jim, you know, and hearing his thoughts about the character and just taking this deep dive into this character that could potentially go horribly wrong, I just knew that he got it and that he was willing to take some chances that really made it exciting for me.
One of the devices in the film is that Cam is a rideshare driver. And it's this interesting, we get this interesting window into it where people don't make eye contact with him. He's not left a tip. It's just sort of, it's this really interesting commentary on somebody being of service but not being valued in that way. Why did you want him to be a driver? That's what I got from it. But I'm curious why that, he could have worked in a convenience store. He could have worked fast food.
I think that the driver aspect of it, the gig economy part of it, mm-hmm. is where I think you find a lot of people who once had more going on in their lives and now feel invisible and almost want to have these conversations with you to try to tell you, well, I used to do this or I used to do that. I'm just doing this part time. And I think it just spoke to his sense of where he was in his life, that he's obviously trying to survive, but he felt like he used to matter and he doesn't really matter anymore.
Mm-hmm. Jim, so much of this is filmed in cars. Yeah. For you as an actor, what challenges did that pose for you?
Well, I live in New York City and I don't own a car. And I also...
Can you drive?
I can drive. I can drive. But I haven't owned...
You didn't sound sure there for a minute.
I haven't owned a car since I was 22 and I'm 23 now. No, and I'm in my 50s. So... that was one thing. And also, I'm somebody with bad eyesight. But Cam, he's not going to wear glasses. I didn't want him to wear glasses. We discussed it. Mm-hmm. And so there was, and it's at night. So I have horrible vision. I don't drive that much. I'm driving. It's an Indy. It's not like we got tons of cars. It's not like that. And there's another actor in the car, and sometimes two actors. So... there was, and I'm acting and driving. So there was some added elements. I mean, again, it's, there are other harder things to do. But it was interesting to kind of like not kill people while you're driving. Because there was time where Robbie Jones, who's so amazing in this film, where he's like, dude, you gotta pay attention. Like, he was one of those guys who stayed in character, so he didn't say it like that. But, there was a couple times where he's like, dude, slow down. You know what I mean?
I'm sitting on the floor without a seatbelt, so I can be
holding
in
a
there
camera.
It was fun.
The name of the film is American Dreamer. It's going to be available in theaters on Friday in New York and across the country and on demand on September 20th. I'm talking to Jim Gaffigan and Derek Bort, the director and co-writer. I got to ask about this because it hit me when I was watching it, and it's mentioned in a review today, and reviewers are going to review. But the N-word is dropped a lot in this film. And you and your co-writer are both white, yes?
Yeah.
Did you run the script by anybody African-American? Did anybody read it?
Well, I mean, you can see the actors that are in the film. We made this with a SAG diversity contract. And actually, when Robbie read the script, he said, it's not in there enough. So, all I can say is based on the actors who are speaking this dialogue, mm-hmm. Saying it needed to be in there more and saying it's, really wanting it to be an authentic representation of what we see in the world around us. I think it's an accurate representation.
Did you have a conversation, you and your co-writer, about it at all, or did it just...
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big topic of conversation. I mean, we're conscious of it. I mean, just writing it on a page, it carries a certain weight. Mm-hmm. And when Robbie came on board, that was one of the first conversations that he brought up, is that, like I said, it's not in there enough. He said, mm-hmm. "If I hope you don't mind, but I really want to make this... my own in a way that I think you may notice that I say it even more."
You know what's interesting is, what's so great about doing films in general or even indies is that as an actor, you come on as, you really obtain some ownership to every character. So when Derek and when they were writing the script of Cam, you know, it's a negotiate. I mean, that's some of what's so fun about doing movies is obviously as an actor, my responsibility is to serve the director's vision, but they want you to come with suggestions, mm-hmm. and they want you to, like, we need to keep this grounded in authenticity for it to work at all, you know? And so the thing that I think is so interesting is about the language or even the actions of all the characters is that everyone, and by the way, it is a very, it's like a fluke how good the cast is on such a low budget. Like, Old Dominion University was a producer of this film. Like, mm-hmm. this is like, you know, like, talk about, there's a Cassavetti Award at the Independent Spirit Awards. This is the lower end of the monetary thing. And so authenticity is such an important element for this film that whether a character says something or not is really kind of up to the actor. Like, mm-hmm. in having worked with these guys, like Robbie, I wish Robbie was here because Robbie was Maz. Like, I met Robbie after...
Maz is the drug dealer. Yeah.
I met Robbie Jones, after we rapped. When he was like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, wait a minute, who was that for 2 weeks? I had never met him before. And there is a brightness to Robbie that he did not display for 2 weeks because he was Maz. And so there is something about the cooperative spirit of a good indie, which this one, obviously, I feel it was, that, you know, Robbie was not going to say anything that he didn't think was authentic. Isabel was not going to say anything she didn't think was authentic. And, you know, I don't know. I just think it's kind of interesting that even in the previous discussion we had, like, I think that even that reference in that that article or whatever, like, I think that's idiotic. You know, look, I'm not African-American, but my character never says it. I've never said it. I've never even heard the word. But, like, my point is, like, that is not what this... That's insulting to the discussion of what the questions this movie should bring up. And as somebody who, like, you know, like, this movie looks at... This movie should be... The review should have discussed white entitlement if you're going to look at any social construct that's presented in this. And it's, I think it's unfortunate, you know, that the N-word, it's like, look, it's not even like, I don't know. Let me ask you honestly, was it something that bumped you how often it was said?
Two things. One, in that review, which I thought was presumptuous, was that he said it's been used too much. I'm like, how do you know? About to the reviewer, because
right,
I looked
exactly.
at the guy's picture,
yeah.
the reviewer's picture, I was like, I'm not sure you
yes.
have ever
yeah.
hung out in this neighborhood with this kind of, these sort of folks. I did hear it a lot, and it hit my ear a couple times, like, did that need to be there?
Right.
And let me watch the whole film.
Sure.
And I thought,
right.
in the moment, a couple times I did think, like, I don't know. But to your point is that actors and directors make decisions, and then
yeah.
people respond.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Robbie spent.
Did that answer your question, Wilma?
Yeah, and in some ways, I think that even culturally, you know, things. Not to sound grandiose here, art's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. Art is supposed to present questions. We're not supposed to. Like, I remember I did this movie Chappaquiddick, and there were all these interviews afterwards, and they're like, "So was the movie against or for Ted Kennedy?" I'm like, "That's not for us to decide. This director told a story. You make your own decision. And by the way, we shouldn't give you the answer." Human beings are flawed and make horrible mistakes. And so I think that I think it's a disservice not just to this movie, but to, you know, the discourse of the questions presented in movies, because what Maz is dealing with is, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just weird. I just think that, like, I understand language can bump people, but it's like, aren't we adults here? Do you know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
It is a grown-up movie.
Yeah, it's very much. And by the way, I'm somebody who's known for clean comedy. Like, it, don't bring your 10-year-old. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't, because that's not what it's for. It's for an adult to watch and then to have a good conversation afterwards. That's what I think a good movie is.
Before I let you go, I did want to touch on mental illness. When you were writing it, and this, I'm just curious, is Cam mentally ill? Did you want... I just need to know.
You tell me.
I don't... Until the last scene, I don't know.
Yeah, see, here's
I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah,
but
I don't want to give anything away
but
either.
But you really don't... The last scene made a bit... I had a big question mark after the last scene.
Which may be a comment on it, on how it's treated in society today. I mean, it's probably one of the most underdiagnosed things in our society, in our culture. Yeah. So,
and again, I think that's one of the, like, I want to read something where someone brings up that question, because as an actor portraying Cam, I wanted people to, you know, as you track this character through this movie, I want people to go, oh, I didn't know that being a rideshare driver was like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, that's an awkward situation. Oh, that's unfortunate. Relationships are hard. And then I wanted people to go, oh, wait a minute. My preconceived notion of who Cam is influenced this, which is a bias that we all kind of carry along. And, you know... And, you know, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give it away. But, like, that's the nerding out stuff that I love about it.
The name of the film is American Dreamer. It stars Jim Gaffigan. It was co-written and directed by Derek Bort. Jim and Derek, thanks for coming out. It was a good conversation.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, James Gregor discusses his debut novel, Going Dutch. More after the break. Stay tuned.